I don't know what you think about the gospel, but the last words of the gospel were kind of spooky. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What an interesting way for Jesus to wrap up this bit of teaching. The gospel begins with him teaching a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without being weary. He gives the example of this unjust judge. And then he kind of throws a curveball and says, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I think that's a serious question for each of us. You know, when we look at ourselves, we look at our families, we look at society, we ask, when the Son of Man comes, are there signs that he's going to find faith in me? The way that I live my faith, does it change my life? So what is it that is going to bring about, how is it that we're going to have this faith so that when the Son of Man does come, that we can make sure that, yes, he is going to find faith. He's going to find faith in me. He's going to find faith in my family. And hopefully, at least in parts of society, he will find faith. Well, the readings today give us two different places or two different ways that we can make sure that happens. The gospel itself talks about, as the opening words say, the necessity to pray always without becoming weary, to pray without ceasing, okay? I wonder, you know, you don't need to raise your hands, you don't need to show any external signs, but it'd be curious to see how many people in the church right now can honestly say, and I'm not just talking about, a 1 second Lord help me prayer. How many people here can honestly say that you set aside time every day to pray? You don't need to say, it's private affair here, but just, do a little conscience exam and say, how much time do I honestly spend on a daily basis in prayer? And I'm not looking for holy hours here, it's not like it has to be some onerous thing. But at least, do I wake up and maybe 5 minutes in the morning and before I go to bed, 5 minutes at night? Because that doesn't just happen. Unless we make it a conscious decision, that doesn't just happen. And why do we need to pray every day? It's like God knows us. He knows that we're, most of us, I think we look at ourselves and say, well, I'm basically a nice person. I don't think God is going to send me to hell or anything, right? So why is this such a big deal? Well, here's the problem. Faith or prayer is what transforms our faith from being just a bunch of rules and laws into a relationship with a person. When we ask people, why do they leave the church? And when you read about what people say about the Catholic Church in the newspapers and stuff, provided you still read newspapers, I guess usually now it's online, whatever. What is the thing that we commonly hear? It's like, I left because I wasn't being fed, because I didn't like all the rules. We constantly hear that kind of thing. What does that say? That says that people are not praying. God is not a person. Maybe speculatively in our minds, like, okay, God is a person, and I know God loves me, but in the day-to-day, God is not a real person who I talk to, who I have a loving relationship with, that's going to change my life. If we ask ourselves, does the fact that I am Catholic really change the way that I live my daily life? Going to school, going to work, whatever. Does it make me different? Does being Catholic affect my day-to-day? Because it should. It should. A relationship with the Almighty God who made us, who made the universe, and who, if we really enter into a relationship of prayer with him, who no longer is just some God that's out there, but actually lives inside our heart and shares his very life with us. That's what sanctifying grace is. God's own life that is in my heart and starts to transform me so that I become more and more like him. That's called holiness. That's why when you look at saints, I don't know how many of you know who Father Pio was, but you look at the guy and it's just like, wow, there's something different about him. I remember when Pope John Paul II was alive, and one of the bishops, he came to the United States for one of his visits, and I think it was Cardinal Stafford out there in Denver. So he invites, obviously, the Pope comes to your diocese, and you invite him to your residence, and Your Holiness, here's the chapel, would you like to say some prayers? And of course, being John Paul II, he very much did want to say some prayers, and you never knew how long those prayers were going to take. You could think you have an appointment in 10 minutes, and 45 minutes later, he's still there wrestling with God. It's like, okay, whatever the schedule was, it just changed. But Cardinal Stafford's reflection was, you go in and you see John Paul II pray, and like he would put his head in his hands, and his eyes would close, and maybe he would start turning red, and the veins would literally start coming out, and you'd see just something is happening. And Cardinal Stafford's reflection was, whatever it is that he does when he's praying, it's not the same thing that I do. It's like he's having a totally different experience in there. That's what a saint does. That's what a person who has been transformed by God, a person who has entered into prayer, and it changes their lives. When we have that kind of life of prayer, and God is a real person that I love, whose life lives in my heart, and it changes my decisions and my day-to-day, then you've got it set. Now you have to maintain that, but then you're doing everything you need to do. Now, but nonetheless, Sacred Scripture does give us a second thing that we need to do. And it is this. In the reading of St. Paul to Timothy, St. Paul is telling Timothy, delve into the Sacred Scriptures. You were born into this family. Read and pray over and get to know your faith. And this was St. Timothy, an apostle of the early church. You know, somebody who was a sidekick of St. Paul, somebody who probably knew his stuff pretty well, probably knew the Bible inside and out. And nonetheless, St. Paul is telling him constantly, go back to the Bible. Go back and keep digging in. There's always more to learn. There's always more to be transformed by the living Word of God. Basically, knowing our faith. Just a few minutes ago, two of our most illustrious church members went off to their catechism class, whatever it's called, seeds or whatever that is. Okay, catechism class is good, but you know what? It is not enough. It is not enough. The reading of St. Paul talking to Timothy reminds me very much of the book of Deuteronomy, which is the final, it's like the last will and testament of Moses before he's going to die. And he goes over the whole history of everything God has done for them. But the thing that he keeps repeating over and over again is remember. Remember the works that God has done. Do not forget. Basically, he tells parents, teach your children the faith. All it takes is one generation, and it becomes lost. I've taught catechism before. And this is how these two things come together, by the way. Catechism taught without prayer goes in one ear and out the other. If our faith is simply taught like it's a classroom subject like math or history or something, goes in one ear and out the other. I remember I had the experience for 2 years in a row teaching these kids in a Catholic school, teaching them their religion class. And I was teach, and maybe I'm a bad teacher, you could probably blame me, but but after 2 years, back to back, of teaching basically about 7 or 8 ideas in a 2-year period, you know, once a week, 2 years straight, you would think that they would get like these 7 or 8 ideas, at least know what I wanted to hear in return. And you know, the time for the test comes, and 30%. Why is it? Because what they're living in their families or in society and watching in TV and picking up everywhere except for their religion class contradicts the message. But if Christ is a living person, if we are men and women of prayer and children of prayer for that matter, then there's interest. And then the faith starts to make sense. And then when I learn about it, it sticks and I know where to put it. And if I pray without having any catechetical knowledge, what happens is it's like a lot of what we would call quote-unquote very Catholic countries, where the people more or less, you know, they practice their faith and they're very pious, but they have no formation up here. they become victims to all kinds of weird ideas. And it's not because they want to be bad. It's just because simply if we don't have the intellectual formation to know our faith, then the first person who comes along and says something weird, we believe it. So we need to form constantly, every single day, contact with God in prayer and regular teaching of our children in the faith. Now, as parents, what are some things you can do to teach your children in the faith? All right, and what are some things you can do to pray? I'm going to give a couple of recommendations. Pray the rosary. If you pray the rosary, even if it's one decade, which, by the way, I've timed it, praying the rosary slowly, like, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which none of you prays like that. Let's be honest. You're Our Father, blah, 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 blah. Okay? But even if you pray like I was doing, I timed it. It takes a little over 2 minutes to pray one decade. You've got 2 minutes in your day. You've got that. Every day, we pray the rosary, even a decade of the rosary, every day, but with your kids, and it becomes part of the routine, it will transform your lives. It will transform your family. Frankly, the reason that I'm standing up here in front of you dressed like this is because when I was like a 20-year-old kid, I heroically began praying one decade, which turned into 2 decades, which turned into 15, and so on and so forth. But it began with just a little bit. And secondly, if you don't know, you know, if your Bible is boring and it doesn't make a lot of sense, you in this parish have access to something called formed.org. Formed.org. It is basically Netflix for Catholics, okay? There's all kinds of really cool stuff in there. Very well made, professionally made materials, movies, books, lives of saints, all kinds of stuff. If we are regularly dipping into something like that, you're going to start picking things up. And thirdly, whenever Father Eric has a morning reflection or a retreat or anything like that, go flocking to it. You will be nourished in the faith. And I just happen to have one for men coming up. Just happens to be that I have a men's morning reflection. We had one yesterday for women at our house in Rye, New York, 15 minutes from here. We had about 20 women. It was very beautiful. Men, you're up to bat. Morning reflection starts at 9:30 in the morning in our house in Rye. And if you're interested, after Mass, you can talk to me about it, and I will give you a link where you get the details. And that's how we are going to be men and women who grow in the faith, transmit the faith. And when Christ comes at the end of time and says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? At least in our case, the answer will be yes. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Finally, let's pray for... You'll notice there are two young men who look like they're priests. They aren't really priests. They're all on the way to being priests. And these are young seminarians from our seminary in Cheshire, Connecticut, Legionaries of Christ. Let's pray for them and the 55 or so other seminarians we have. And pray for lots of vocations because we need them. And it's a great life. God bless.